Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Got a little rain last night, cooled off a little bit. Did anybody think it was hot yesterday? All right, let me see. Let's start today with page 33, and let's stand. Page 33, please. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, the showers overnight, Lord, the opportunity to be here today in your house. Thank you, Lord, so much for it. Thanks for those who showed up, Lord. Thank you for the good week we had, Lord, keeping us safe, our daily provision. Thank you for this nation we live in, Lord. Help us to be good stewards of it, Lord, while we live here. And, Lord, we pray for the day of your coming. Pray for it soon. Lord, all the signs are pointing that direction. Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to examine ourselves, Lord. Know what's going on in our own personal lives, Lord. Help us to be worried about no one else but ourselves, Lord, and what we are here for you. Our pastor's ready, Lord, today. Guide him and direct him, Lord. Make him the strongest man in the room, Lord, for what you have through him today. That it would speak to our hearts, Lord. Give us some encouragement. Give us the things that we need, Lord, in the upcoming week. If you tarry, that we can live life for you, Lord. Thank you for this time today. Be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Okay, let's see. Had to make a decision today, but somebody else did it for me. Old Rugged Cross, 132.
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering. And I love that.
Let's see, announcements for the week. Evening service tonight, 6 o'clock. The book studies are continuing on there. Missing out some good stuff there, folks. You can come to that. Personal evangelism is Tuesday, July 26th. Wednesday is our prayer meeting. Still devoted to the investigation of the flag and the pledge. We'll debate the issue as needed until all has been presented. Biblical support will be allowed of your position and is allowed, so come prepared to present as such. This will be followed by our prayer meeting. There will be no women's Bible study the month of August. Please check with Autumn for the September dates. In Walnut Park, we'll be having their ladies' retreat. Date is Saturday, November 5th. Man, November 5th, that's not that far away. Well, pastor's thought for the week, when people choose problems, God offers solutions. Guys, you'll come forward. We'll take up the morning offering. Pray again. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the beautiful day, Lord, and the opportunity to be here. All the things you do for us, Lord. You asked us to give, Lord, such a small portion back, but I just pray you be with the gift and the gifts we do so today. Again, Lord, be with our pastors about to speak, and be with us, Lord. Help us to be attentive. Bible's ready, Lord, and going into your word today. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Tough getting up here. Thank you, ladies. Autumn and the girls are coming up now, right? Thank you.
This song called Lord Make Us Instruments of Your Peace from one of our favorite music channels on YouTube, a Christian family down in the Carolinas that puts music out. And it's originally taken from a prayer written by Francis of Assisi. And there's just a few words changed, and we hope that it pleases the Lord today. So we're going to sing it for him. Yes. There. I'm going to pull a little closer, but you two stay close to that. Close there and sing out, little girls. Okay. Emma, can you see the words?
Yeah.
Do you want to stand by Ellie? Stand by Ellie. To make sure we can see everything here. No, that won't work, honey, because I can't see the cords. Right there. And then pull that down.
We are your instruments.
Thank you, ladies. That is a great prayer for us today, that God would use us and that we'd be willing to be His instruments of peace. Well, good morning and welcome to Fruitland Baptist Church. It is the day that the Lord has made, and so therefore we will rejoice and be glad in it. We have that choice, and I'm thankful that God has given us that choice, but also not only the choice, but every reason to, in fact, rejoice in the day that He's given to us. Welcome to one and all. We're glad again for everyone that's come through the doors. We acknowledge this morning that we're needy and we're in need of the Savior's help. I appreciated the choir's number. And yes, I saw those stealthy stares about those that grumble about the pastor and the messages. Well, it's also a fact sometimes pastors grumble about congregations. I just had to make this even today because I know that my wife would take me to task if I didn't say that today. But we have more reasons to rejoice than to grumble. We know that grumbling comes from the behest of Satan. God wants us to be thankful, to give Him glory for everything, and understand He's given us His very best in His Son, Jesus Christ. And that alone is enough reason to not worry about what the markets are doing. I've told you before, I had an aunt and uncle down at Fairfield that killed their crop 6 or 7 times a year. Every time we'd talk to him, oh, it's really bad. But come September and October, oh, it's one of the best crops we had. So hang in there with God. That's my admonition to us all this morning. And I do appreciate that song that Autumn and the girls brought for us this morning. We need to be God's instruments of peace. But while we can offer and we can experience the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, let me assure you, we are locked in a deadly warfare with God's adversary, Satan. And this morning we're going to take a look at him and some of the things that he's done. I don't usually talk a lot about hymns, but I chose the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther's hymn to lead us off today, and that talks about indeed those fiery battles. Some of the things I've got to say today may be a little bit upsetting to some of you, possibly, I don't know. But it's all biblical, and I'm telling you folks, we've got a lot of things on our plate in these days in which we live. But with that, we also have much to rejoice about, as I said, and welcome to our services this morning. The title of our message today is an examination of Revelation 12. This is a message that fulfills a request that I had to speak on the book of Revelation, and I do that with some regularity, but today I believe you'll find this something that is worth examining and the situation that we find ourselves in today. So before we go any further, we need to pray. And there are needs in our church today. We have several people gone, as you can see, that are at least have told us they have illnesses. Some are traveling. Others are recovering from injuries. And I think there's some things going on in people's lives today as well, in all of our lives, that we need to bring to the throne, where there's difficulties, maybe relational struggles that are going on, depression, other instances of those type of needs that we have in our flock. So let's go to prayer this morning, and we'll ask God to help us today to walk us forward and to change our lives. Father, we come today and humbly bow before your throne. This is a day that you've given us. We need to be thankful in it. And Lord, I do believe when we really stop and get our hearts straight, we are thankful. Lord, it's another day of grace and mercy. Lord, we all deserve to be punished. And really, we deserve the punishment of death. But thankfully, you saw differently and saw fit to send Jesus to take that punishment in our place. And we're thankful for the message of the gospel, that if we'll place our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and in His wrath-removing sacrifice, the Bible calls it the propitiation for our sins, Lord, we will be saved because of His work on our behalf. So I pray today, Lord, that we will examine our lives and we'll be thankful for what you've done for us. And Lord, as I mentioned, there are many needs here in our congregation and people struggling with different infirmities and difficulties. But Lord, you can overcome all those things in your power and might. But Lord, if you see fit to allow us to journey down those paths, we know that you are there along the path with us and at the end of that path, and you have your reasons and purposes. And I pray, Lord, you'd help us to rest firmly in your control of those situations and just trust you and walk with you until the day we meet you face to face. Now, I pray today, Lord, if there be one in our number that would not be in a personal walk with you today, I also pray for any in our number today that do know you as Lord and Savior but are maybe distant. And Lord, I can even put myself in that category at times. I need to draw closer to you. And Lord, I need your help in the battle against the wicked one, the evil one, your adversary, Satan. So Lord, today as we look into your word, I pray you'll open our hearts. And again, if there's business that needs to be done with you, Lord, we know you're open on Sundays and you're willing and you're waiting. And Lord, I pray that we'll get it set straight today, that we might be instruments of your peace. Now, Lord, I need your help as always and like none other today, Lord. We've been over a difficult patch here for a few weeks. And Lord, I've had my walk disrupted with you in some ways, but I pray today, Lord, you'll use my lips and guide and direct my thoughts as we look into your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friends and seekers of Jesus Christ, today's message is in response to a request for a message from the book of Revelation. And I do preach on it fairly regularly, but today I was led to go to Revelation 12. So if you want to open your books, your Bible, paper books, or your devices, that's chiefly where we'll be at today. But I was led to this passage because it has a great impact on the day that we live and in the days that are coming. I find it to be a very interesting passage of events, as I mentioned, that are yet to come, in part and in prophetic timing that serve as a warning and a wake-up for us in the current day. And you know, I believe that people today are beginning to wake up just a little bit. Everyone has noticed the things that have taken place in our world and the wickedness and the violence and the increase in that. You know, I just even lift up what we heard here this week up at Maquoketa Caves. There is no place that's immune today from violence and wickedness. It could potentially come right into this building. And we're aware of that. Churches are a target today of Satan. They always have been. But there are things that are taking place in our world for at least most of us in this room that we would have never even imagined a few generations ago that take place with regularity. And so it's a wake-up call for us in our current day. Revelation as a book is the Apostle John's encounter with Jesus and his revelating or revealing past, present, and future acts of significance to mankind. You can look at Revelation 1:1 sometime and you'll see that. God was opening the book through Jesus to the Apostle John of what's going to take place. Just a little clarity on words too here, because there's a lot of misusage of the verbiage in our modern day. The Greek word apokalypsis, which we would get the term apocalypse, and what is the, when you hear the word apocalypse, what's that mean to you? What's it tie to? Many people think, well, the Battle of Armageddon, the events of tribulation, warfare, bloodshed, tumultuous times. Well, that's not what it means. It's used wrongly many times. But the Greek word apokalypsis, where we get the word apocalypse, simply means the unveiling. And that's why Revelation is called the book of the apocalypse. Because God is revealing through his son Jesus Christ, the Apostle John, what's coming down the line and what has transpired and why things are the way they are. As I say all the time, the Bible is a book of answers. God's answers to the perplexing questions that mankind has. So it's the unveiling, and it contains the events that culminate in the Battle of Armageddon and what follows in eternity future. The book of Revelation is a wonderful place to study in conjunction with the rest of Scripture. Today's study is an interlude or a parenthesis, and we find a few of those in the book of Revelation in the unfolding account of God's end times dealing with Israel as well as the Gentile nations, and it deals specifically with his dealings with the serpent. And that serpent is?
Satan.
We never take it lightly. You know, I ripped on Satan a little bit last Sunday, and I had a tire blow out on the way from home from church. Well, actually, it had a separation and a tread. And then we heard a whack, 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 whack. And some of you stopped and wondered why I was outside looking at the car. But you know, God's grace still prevailed. And you'll find that if you take a stand in the war against Satan, you'll be attacked. I don't know for certain that's what it was, but it was too coincidental. First words that came out of Kim's mouth, "You spoke against Satan today." You know, but God's grace prevailed because we drove the thing home at 20 mile an hour with the tread flapping and got home. Praise God. Thank you to those that stopped to help me. But Satan, God's adversary, is the fallen angel. He's the fallen archangel, the head guy of God's created beings, angelic beings, His name is Lucifer. Just a couple of proof texts if you want to read about all this in case you're not up to speed on this. But Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 will give you a lot of the meat on that along with other scripture. But you take a look at that. He was the head of the angels. And I'll tell you what, folks, be thankful today that we are not yet in the season that's coming to this earth. As bad as things are today, we have, and I trust we will not see it, but you are going to see things, and they're prophesied in these books and in some of the other Old Testament prophetic warnings. Jesus' warnings in Matthew 24 and the ensuing text in the other Gospels. Let me tell you, folks, what we see today is just a precursor of what's coming to this planet. But be aware that Satan's forces also know what's coming. And my friends, I just alluded to it, his ferocity is ramping up. And it's going to ramp up if indeed these are the end times and in the day that we live. So let me just say this, and we could just stop right here, but draw near today to Jesus as your Savior. And if you are not in a personal relationship with Jesus, born anew under His blood, and your sins forgiven, may this be the day that you yield to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bow the knee. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. Why not do it today and be on Jesus' side? Because I want to make it very clear, Satan's side is going to lose. It's losing the war today, and it is not the side that God would have us on. Someone mentioned hell in Sunday school this morning. Hell, you better do a study on hell. And I've preached on it, and I allude to it all the time. It is not forgotten in this church or from this pulpit. It is a destiny that is not to be desired for anyone. When you think about the consequences and the ramifications of it. Today's the day to meet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, or strengthen your walk with Him today and know for sure where your destiny lies as the epic battle rages on, yet facing a conclusion. So today, an examination of Revelation 12. Some of the things I say here today may be something that disturbs you or you wonder about it. Well, I will always support what I say with Scripture. But there are some important things in this text that we're going to look at today. Well, first of all, we're going to look at Revelation 12:1. We need to start with that. And we need to determine here some of the things that are taking place. But let's begin. "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven," it says in the King James Version. That word wonder could also be easily translated a sign. By the way, what are signs given for? Warning, direction, clarity. You go right on down the line. Signs are used to identify significant things and events. And you could make all kinds of definitions that go along with that. But what I have here that I came up with, this is my own thing, a specific designated event or occurrence. And so these are signs that God has given for us to understand things. Now that's what helps us to understand who the thrust of this first verse is, because John writes, "And there appeared a great wonder or sign in heaven, and that sign is a woman." Who is the woman? That's correct, and I'll get to that in just a minute. But you know, I want to tell you, women have a big role in things. And they have a big role in God's program, but they also have a large role in Satan's program. And I'm up here as a male. Yes, I still claim to be a male. That is my gender that God gave me. And really, I need to be up here preaching about this, but I'm going to come, you know, I've come down on the men pretty hard here at Fruitland too. The men are a bunch of schleps too, most of the time. And that's really a good definition for that. They're schleps. They're not on top of things. They're taking the back seat on things and letting other people do what they should be doing. And that's a real thing with men today, and I've not been easy on that. But women also are used by God, but they're used by Satan. Men and women both can be used by Satan. Did you hear me on that? But both can also be used of God. By the way, godly women have a vital role. I was just quizzing Kim a little bit. You might wonder what we talk about in the car coming down here. Well, we talk about a lot of things. But what did I ask you about this morning, Kim, regarding women? See, she doesn't listen to the messages either. I said to Kim, I said, you know, women are special. And by the way, I love my wife, and I appreciate the role of women. God has a role for women. But let me say this. If a godly lady comes to you, or even an ungodly lady comes to a man and asks them to do something, generally what will that man do? Come on! They'll do it! You women are powerful beings. If Kim asks me to do something in the right way, I'll never resist it. I'll make it a priority to get done. Kim, you can speak freely. But you have a lot of power. And let me tell you something, Satan knows that. First, I want to talk about godly women. Godly women have a vital role in God's program. How do we know that? And I'm only going to give you a few things, but you can study the scriptures. You can think about what goes on in culture today. Who is the first godly woman mentioned in the Bible? Thank you. Eve. Sister Eve. The first one. They have a vital role in the program. What was Eve's role in the program to start with? To be a helper to her husband. But after and we know what took place after the fall, and this is the point I want to make. Satan didn't attack Adam, he attacked. And godly women here today, be aware, Satan will attack you and he will try to use you for the wrong things. So be warned of that today if you're a godly woman. By the way, Satan also uses ungodly women. And there are many illustrations of that. So here's the thing, folks. Women have a vital role, godly women in God's program, and they are under attack from his adversary Satan, chiefly to block the message of the cross. Why did Satan attack Eve in the garden? Because, again, he wanted to see the path to the cross blocked. And Satan is not omniscient, but he knew that what was going to take place. And what happened there was what? Eve had to be in the lineage of a lady called Mary, another godly woman who was going to bring the Savior Jesus Christ. Satan's goal, after he rebelled against God, is to defeat God's program called the cross. And you will find that tied to that at all the time. Eve represents all godly women to a degree. She represents Mary. I mentioned her and more about her later. But she specifically in this passage, the woman in this passage is indeed what Doug answered. It's Israel. By the way, Israel was also pictured as a godly woman, a sign. And also, just incidentally, Isaiah 7:14 says, "Behold, I'll give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive." Signs. God's got signs all over everything that he does. But this woman in this passage represents Israel. Israel is the wife of Jehovah. She's been attacked. The church is the bride, the coming wife of Christ. The church will be attacked. Godly women will be attacked. But indeed, this woman here is Israel. Now, more on this. And I mentioned here earlier, Satan's attack, and we find in Genesis 3:14 through 16, we won't go there today, but Again, it's called the Proto-Evangelium. It's looking forward after the fall to what took place and how Eve's offspring, Mary, would be used, again, to strike back at Satan through the cross and to remove the condemnation that Satan brought on through Eve in the garden to mankind through the God-man, Jesus Christ. So Eve, the first woman of whom Mary, Jesus' mother, would come in the line of, was attacked in the garden to block the cross. Satan was delusional that God would not overcome his attacks, but God did not abandon Eve. He made a way that her sin was substitutionally atoned for, and her lineage went on. So today, a godly woman is in the line of Eve. Mary's child Jesus was under attack as an infant by Herod to stop him from going to the cross at Satan's behest, but God turned the tables on that too, didn't he, on old Herod. And he revealed to Joseph and Mary, go another way down to Egypt. Christ was preserved. Jesus took man's sin upon him on the cross and rose again to defeat Satan's plan of no redemption and him winning the battle against God. Satan, you're a defeated foe. You can read about that, though, in Genesis 3, 14 through 16. The seed that delivers us from our sins, Jesus, the God-man, came through Mary and through the lineage of Eve. When Satan attacks God's plan and his programs, and this is the thing that you better buckle your seatbelts on this morning, and programs, he will often attack through ungodly women. But he also is going to attack godly women as well. You can think about Jezebel. You can think about many examples through Scripture. And as I said, not only Eve, but Mary was a sign. Israel, the wife of Jehovah. The church, the bride of Christ. And so that brings us here to verse 1 again about this woman that's identified, which is Israel. But notice here it says about this woman, a woman clothed with the sun. A woman clothed with the sun. Well, the sun is the light of the world. Correct? Jesus is the light of the world. Israel was connected to the light of the world, who is Jesus. Now, it's also interesting to note here that it says that the moon was under her feet. The moon is a counterfeit light. It's a reflector, and it represents false religion. Satan's forces and he operate in darkness. The moon is the light that rules the night. Satan's realm is in the night and in the darkness. Look for the moon, my friends, in symbolism, and you will see Satan's realm. I'm going to give you just one. I'm going to be preaching about Islam here later yet this summer and in the fall. But folks, pre-Islam, pre the days of Muhammad, the belief in Islam is that Allah, the moon god, married the sun goddess, and the children are the stars. They're the counterfeit of Israel, God's people, as we will see. You look for that, my friends. But what is represented there is this woman was a godly woman, and the counterfeit religion, false religion, the forces of darkness were at her feet. That's the epic battle shown right there in Israel. Now, we know through Israel's history what's happened. Satan's attacked them over and over and over again. So the woman in this passage is Israel. I'll read the rest of this. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Not like Islam would have believed here from the moon god, Allah, but this woman in the passage is the wife of Jehovah, and the 12 stars are the 12 tribes of Israel. So Israel is attacked as a woman. Verse 2, and she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Israel, as the birther of Jesus, has been attacked as the woman in this passage relentlessly, and yet to this day, by the opposition to God, Satan. We find in verse 3. Well, I better read 2 first. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. That's talking about Jesus. She's the birther of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, we find another sign. We learned about the sign of the woman, Israel. Now we find the sign of Satan. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder or sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Satan manifested himself to Eve as a serpent, a snake. By the way, at that point, I believe the snake was able to walk uprightly. It faced Eve face to face. But when the trickery was done and Eve fell, and by the way, Adam fell as well, because it applied to the whole race, and he was not there to defend his wife in that instance. But the fact of the matter is, God cursed the serpent, the snake, and he said, upon your belly. So he's referred to here, and we'll see here, as a great red dragon. And that's shown us in verses 9 here coming up and so forth. Verse 9 says, and the great dragon was cast out. We'll look at that in just a minute. But that's a sign, the old serpent, and now he's called a dragon. And a dragon, for most people, when you think about it, and I do believe they existed, the Bible alludes to it, but a dragon was a critter to be what? Feared. Okay? Snakes are to be feared. Most, I mean, I'm not afraid of them necessarily, but I have respect for the wrong ones. if there's a rattlesnake or different ones that you encounter, where was it, Kim, where we traveled? You know, they warned us about snakes. Out in Montana, you keep your eye on snakes because they can do a lot of damage, and you know about that. But he's to be feared. He's a dragon. But notice what it says here. This is the sign that we see of Satan. And it says, a great red dragon that has 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. Folks, what these represent, and by the way, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the prince and power of the air. Ephesians 2:2 says that. Now I'm having trouble here. No, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says he is the god, little g, of this world. Ephesians 2:2 says that he is the prince and power of the air. The scriptures say a lot about Satan. But these 7 heads are the 7 great kingdoms of the world. Jesus was revealing this to John. Satan controls, not in totality, but he has authority in this world. But it's not; it's always under the authority of the God of the Bible. But he is a powerful force, and he has been behind the world governments that have existed and will exist even in this time of the end times. Okay? And it's already been prophetically shown here in Scripture. Read the book of Daniel. You can go back into lots of Old Testament prophetic things. And Jesus is just capping this off. He says, he's the God of this world, with a little g. It's a sign. It's a sign that's opposed to the woman. The said head, 7 heads are the 7 great kingdoms or dynasties throughout time. The 10 horns are the 10 chief players in the end times. This is prophesied in Scripture. There will be a 10-nation confederacy that's, and I believe it's Islamic nations, or at the very least, a confederacy between false religion, which Islam is one of those things, that will dominate the end times players in the Middle East. And I think those are set up. And of course, the 7 crowns are the leaders of those 7 kingdoms. You can go back right down the line through world history. It's not only mentioned in Scripture, but it's mentioned in world history. The empires that existed and that have fallen. Last one that fell is Rome. We used to think that it'd be a revived Roman Empire in the end times. I'm not so sure it's a revived Roman Empire, but it's a confederacy that is a false religion. It has the ties to the moon, counterfeitism. Biblical Christianity is the true faith. It is not a religion. Okay? Anyway, that sign is given of what's going on there. Now, we're obviously not going to get this done today, but we'll go as far as we can. Hopefully, you'll do some studying on this yourself. But we go to verse 4, and we find out what took place in the past and what will come onto the scene as time goes on. It says in verse 4, "And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven." By the way, I gave you Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, and there's other passages. You'll find what happened in heaven, but the gist of it is that Lucifer was the top angel. And God gave the angels free will, and what happened is Lucifer, because of his pride, said, "I want to be like the Most High." He rebelled against God. He had the freedom to do that, and he turned a third of the angels away from God. Now, we don't know the numerics on the angels, but we know there are legions and legions. They are innumerable in the count, but we know a third of that count fell with Lucifer. By the way, I want to tell us the way it is on that. Those angels still have access to the throne room in heaven, and along with Lucifer. He is the accuser of the brethren. That's all contained in this text, but he's still under the authority of God. But let me assure you, a third of those angels that fell, not all of them are loose, because some are chained in Tartarus. They're so wicked, some are buried under the Euphrates River. God would not even allow them out. But our planet is filled with demonic angels and demonic spirits. And you better be careful what you mess around with. God protects the believer from that realm, and we ought never mess with it. But let me just say this, and I've preached on it before. The occult and the things that seek to see that realm, you can access that. And you can be possessed by a demon if you're unsaved. And I believe with all my heart, a lot of the stuff that's going on around here today is by demon-possessed people. Amen. Under the authority of Satan. You can be oppressed by demons as a believing Christian, but you cannot be possessed. The Holy Spirit and Satan cannot share the same body. But this is serious stuff. This is what's going on outside our door. It's going on in our families, our homes, the context of the world today. And see, almost 2,000 years ago, Jesus told John what's coming down. His tail drew a third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. That's Jesus Christ, delivered by the Virgin Mary. A miraculous conception. And Satan was there to devour Jesus immediately. I already alluded to this. Herod sent out an order that all the children should what? But God warned Joseph and Mary in a dream, and they departed. They slipped out by God's providential care, because the Savior was to be preserved. Jesus did go to the cross. Satan cannot stop that. Now all he can do is try to stop people from going to the cross. Is there anyone here today that he's doing that to? We know there's people, though, in our world all around us he's done it to. And I'll tell you what, it's about time people wake up to the light and throw off the forces of darkness. But there it is. He was there to take Jesus. Lucifer, let me just read what I wrote. A third of the angels rebelled and fell. And they're demons here on earth. They have partial access to the heavens, but only Lucifer to the throne room of God. Yet currently as the accuser of the brethren. Just take a look at 9 and 10 quick. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent, we're going to talk about that later, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is what's coming yet. They still have access. By the way, read Job, the early chapters in Job. And there are other places in Scripture as well. But the fact of the matter is, you read verse 10, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." I think it was last week I illustrated this. The Holy Spirit is praying for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Romans chapter 8, we looked at. Jesus, our attorney, is before the throne. He's defending us before this character, Satan, to God in heaven. He has that. Now verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But Satan's doom is sealed. It's sealed in the lake of fire, but before that happens, he yet today has access. By the way, I believe this, and you can study it, but what we're talking about here, this is a very, has a lot in this passage. We're talking about what's going to take place in the second half of the tribulation. It's called the Great Tribulation, 3.5 years. And that's when this is going to be dealt with. There's going to be warfare in heaven. By the way, Israel's not going to be fully redeemed until that period begins, because you know what? For the first 3.5 years, Israel's going to be in a peace treaty with Satan and his angels in these countries. But you know what? Satan's going to go the last mile. He's going to violate and desecrate the temple. The Antichrist will rise up in the temple rather than the Christ of God. And that's when these events will take place. But know this, God is working in that tribulation period. He will be saving the Jews. He will be saving non-Jews in that period at the witness of 144,000 believers and others. But be aware of this. You know, today is the day of salvation. We can think about the end times and we can be led to say, you know, maybe I'll wait. But that's never what God said. He says, today is the day. You better get right with me. I've given you indications of the season of when these things will take place, but today is the day. I am here for you today. Like I said last week with my dad and the check from Aunt Louise and Uncle Cleon, take it. Take Jesus. He died for you. He died for me. Now, I'd like to keep going, but we're already over time here. But let me see what I was going to say here. Did I read verse 5 yet? Well, yes. And she brought forth a man child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. That's Jesus Christ. He was here for how long? 33 years. He came in the exact point of time where God used him to deliver this world. I'll stop with 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared of God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. I believe the period between verses 5 and 6 encompasses the time that we are yet in today. It's the day of grace. It's the day of the cross. It's the day of whosoever will come. Jesus came, whether you be Jew or Greek in your ethnicity. That's the day we yet live in. But there will be a day here when the events will come down. And what's talked about in verse 6 is the last half of the Great Tribulation. By the way, read the book of Revelation and read the other accounts in Scripture that talk about that period. The world has never seen anything close to this. The destruction, again, in Noah's day was mighty with the flood. But the destruction and the carnage that takes place here over a period of time and the suffering. It was one thing in the flood because people went how? They went quickly. But this world is going to see events that are going to be, and what we see as a precursor today of those events that are going to be uncomprehendable to the minds of people. Well, I got to conclude. Can we come back next week if the Lord allows it? If not, read the rest of the book. There's a lot of stuff here that we're going to talk about. But let me just say in conclusion, is your heart pure before God today? Do you contribute to Satan's attack toward God and his people? Or do you contribute, excuse me? I've seen it, folks, over the years in churches. God has faithful people. God has faithful women. God has faithful men. But Satan also has plants in churches. And oftentimes he works through ungodly women and ungodly men to destroy his work. But I did give a special warning today to women. And I am going to say this. This is my opinion. Women have a power that goes far beyond man or the male species in many of these things. You want to look to the source of trouble And I say this lovingly, ladies, and it should be the ladies that are up preaching this to your own folks. You will find an ungodly woman that's behind it, in many cases the root of it. But never forget, godly women will always be attacked by Satan. He wants you to fall. Anyway, do you contribute to Satan's attack toward God and his people? Boy, today's the day to repent of that. And I search my soul all the time. I want to have a pure heart. What was your song, Autumn? Of peace. So much of the time, people are bound to try to make war. The war that we ought to be engaged in is the war with this character, Satan. Because he's the one that can kill eternally. Are you proactive in using God's armor in the escalating attacks by Satan? You better put the armor on. Ephesians 6, you can read about it. We need it. Amen. Are you prepared for eternity? Or do the things of this world consume your efforts and your time? Like we heard the grumbling song. God sets this stuff up perfectly. Like I meant, we're worried if the corn's going to do okay this year. We better worry how we're doing and how the people around us are doing. Have you been delivered from hell by the blood of the Lamb? I have to be blunt about this today. Who is going to get real with God today? Or are we going to kick the can down the road? So far, we've been able to do that, haven't we, for the most part? But these events are coming. There's going to be a war in heaven. We'll look at that next time we reconvene. But here's my last thought. Don't take his patience and grace for granted. We better get it right with Jesus today. And the way that's done is to go to him. I can't take you to him, but I can help you from Scripture to see how to approach him. Go to your Scriptures. But Jesus is waiting, and he's easy to talk to. Just tell him what's going on. He'll bring peace into your life. Even in the midst of a war, he is the Prince of Peace, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords. I'm done for today, but not for good unless the Lord takes me out. Amen. Hymnals, please, and let's stand if you're able. 342. Today, run to Jesus. Don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. I'll hold your hand even today if you want to talk. You know, I'll sit. I can't save you. There's other people in this church I know that will stand up and come alongside you. But today's a day to get it right with the Lord. And understand the days we're living in, folks. This is not going to get better. It's going to get worse. Can you say what we're going to sing here in this song today as we close? We're going to sing the first and third on this today, or actually the first and fourth. But think about it. We're a sinner. The Bible says it. We know it's the truth. And there's only one way to avoid the consequences of our sin, and it's through the one that went to the cross, Jesus. We're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Because if it was something we did, we'd be bragging about it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Let's sing today. If God's speaking to your heart, today's the day to talk to him. Get it set right. Not have I gotten, but what I receive. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner. By grace, only a sinner, saved by grace, only a sinner, saved by grace. This is my story, to God be the glory. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Now, this is a good time to examine ourselves on that. Can you answer that truthfully? Are you saved by the grace of God today? Have you received it personally? Let's sing that last stanza. Maybe someone will step out today. Maybe the Lord will call. Maybe He is calling you today. It's not wrong to come publicly. Jesus died publicly for us. You know, He did. He didn't hide. He didn't do it behind the scenes. He came out. Suffer a sinner. Dean Naylor, would you close today in prayer, please?